Hey, everybody, and welcome to week 11 of NFL Insights with Brennan. Brennan kept the party going with a 10-4 record last week, which brought his overall record to 82-59. He hit his lock of the week, so he's 9-1 in that regard. And without further ado, let's pick it up with the 1-8 Panthers welcoming in the 6-3 Cowboys.
Yeah, the records kind of say it all here. The Panthers have been pretty horrible all season long. The low point might have came last Thursday when Bryce Young, the number one overall pick, lost to Tyson Bagent, an undrafted rookie. The offense didn't score a touchdown. Their only touchdown was from special teams. They can't score. The defense is all banged up, and it's just a bit of a mess. Frank Reich could be one and done, and the general manager, Scott Fitterer, could be fired as well. The Cowboys are a 6-3 team. They gave the Eagles all they could handle. They're pretty talented. I'm sure they'll make the playoffs, but I don't know how far they'll go when they get there. But aside from that loss to the Cardinals, the Cowboys have shown that they can annihilate bad teams, and I just don't see this being close at all. It's my lock of the week, and I'm picking the Cowboys here.
All right, and let's go to that wacky AFC North, where based on what happened in Thursday night's game, got even wackier. The 6-3 Browns will be welcoming in the 6-3 Steelers. At one point, it looked like all these teams were going to make the playoffs, and recent developments have made that probably not true.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like the Bengals will get in since Joe Burrow suffered a torn ligament in his wrist, I believe. So he's out for the year. He's the sixth starting quarterback to be out for the season, which is insane. These injuries are out of control. It's making the league worse. It's just terrible. And he's not the only quarterback from an Ohio team in the AFC North to be out for the season. Deshaun Watson is also out for the season with as he underwent shoulder surgery. He had a broken bone in one of his shoulders, so now he's out for the year. So now they're going up against the Steelers, who are 6-3. Probably one of the more they're a pretty non-impressive 6-3 team. I'm not really all that impressed, looking a little fraudulent, I would say. They've been outgained in every single game, and they still win. Their offense is just good enough, and the defense always seems to make a play. They'll still probably end up making the playoffs since their schedule looks pretty favorable the rest of the way. The Browns are starting rookie quarterback Dorian Thompson-Robinson in this game, or DTR for short. He played week 4 against the Ravens and was pretty bad there, but Deshaun Watson was like a last second he was inactive at the last second in that game, so he was probably caught by surprise. He'll probably have a little more preparation this time, but the Steelers defense is one of the best in the league. Mike Tomlin is one of the best coaches in the league. It's amazing how this team has a winning record. And the Steelers won the first matchup in Pittsburgh, and I think they'll sweep the series here.
All right, let's head up to Detroit, where the 7-2 Lions will be welcoming in the 3-7 Bears. And it looks like for the Bears, Justin Fields is back.
Yes, he is scheduled to play. It's nice to see. Tyson Bagent was a nice story, but Fields is the starter, and he has a very important couple of weeks coming up. He has to play well enough to convince the Bears not to pick Caleb Williams or Drake May, and they have the Panthers' first round pick, and that'll be very high. So, and the Bears, their own pick will probably be high as well. The Lions are 7-2. They won what was probably the game of the year against the Chargers. They won 41-38. It was a wild shootout, but the Bears have been offensively challenged most of the year. Their offense is better when Justin Fields plays, but Fields has been too inconsistent and always seems to get injured. He's been out for 4 weeks with a thumb injury, and he might be a little rusty in his first game back. I like the Lions to win this one.
All right, let's head up to another NFC North team's home turf, Lambeau Field, where the 3-6 Packers will be welcoming in the 4-5 Chargers.
It's been a rough season for the Packers. I guess that was to be expected since Aaron Rodgers is gone. They're 3-6. The defense has been pretty decent, but the offense has not. The offensive line is banged up, and their wide receiver room just isn't very impressive. The Chargers are 4-5. If the playoffs started today, they wouldn't be in them. The fans are pretty fed up with Brandon Staley after his defense, which was pretty dominant the last 2 weeks, allowed 41 points to the Lions. Before they played the Lions, they played the Bears and the Jets, two teams with bad offenses. And so when it was time to play a good team, they fell just short, and that's always what seems to happen under Brandon Staley. That seat is getting pretty hot there. I don't know if they don't make the playoffs, he's not going to survive. But I think this defense shouldn't have too many problems with the Packers offense, and Justin Herbert is still one of the best. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. He gave it his all despite the loss. I like the Chargers to bounce back with a win here.
All right, let's head down to Houston, where the feel-good story of C.J. Stroud, who has led the Texans to a 5-4 record thus far, will be going up against the 2-8 Cardinals, who have their first-round quarterback, Kyler Murray, back in the fold. What do you see here?
Yeah, I've really been impressed with the Texans. I can't believe they're 5-4. They've already won more games than they did last year. C.J. Stroud is a star in the making. He's the clear favorite to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. He could maybe even win MVP because that's how well he's been playing. The Jaguars are 6-3, but the Texans have a real chance at winning this division as well, which is crazy. DeMeco Ryans was a fantastic hire. He was very much sought after by all teams with a vacancy, and it's gone very well. And the Cardinals are 2-8. They got Kyler Murray back last week. He led them to a win immediately at 2-8. It's been the season that everyone was expecting from Arizona because of the Murray injury. Josh Dobbs did well enough. He played pretty well in most of those games, but it only led to one win with him as their quarterback. Murray played well, which was nice to see. I never believed that they would draft a quarterback with their draft pick, with their first rounder. The Cardinals also have the Texans' first rounder, but that's looking like it's going to be in like the 20s or something. The Cardinals always fight in every single game, but it's at Houston. It's not their typical time zone, and I like the Texans to keep on rolling.
Okay, let's head down to Jacksonville, where the 6-3 Jaguars, who haven't been looking so hot lately, welcome in the 3-6 Titans. This could be what they need to get right. What do you think?
I think so. The Jaguars had a pretty lengthy winning streak before they got crushed by the 49ers. There's no shame in losing to the 49ers. They're a very talented team with a deep roster. The Titans, it's been a rough season for them, as expected, I guess. Will Levis is the quarterback going forward. He's shown some promise, but they just don't have enough around him so that he can succeed right now. Treylon Burks is continuing to recover from a concussion. I believe he's out. That's looking like a real miss of a draft pick right now. He hasn't come close to replacing A.J. Brown. I don't think he ever will. Their best playmakers are Derrick Henry and DeAndre Hopkins, and they're getting up there in age. And the offensive line is apparently not too good. The defense is solid, but they haven't been winning games, and this is the second straight home game in a row for the Jaguars. The Jaguars swept the series last year. They played pretty poorly last week, but I think they will bounce back with a win here.
All right, let's keep it in the state of Florida and go a little further south down to Miami, where the 6-3 Dolphins will welcome in the 5-5 Raiders. Raiders do seem to be a new team now that Josh McDaniels is gone.
Yep, it seems like Antonio Pierce has brought new life to the team. That's the interim head coach. And Aiden O'Connell replaced Jimmy Garoppolo. They've won two games in a row, although they have been against the New York teams, the Giants and the Jets. Those teams are both a little bit of a mess right now. They're about to face an increase in competition. They're playing the Dolphins this week, then they play the Chiefs, then the Vikings, among other teams. The Dolphins haven't been able to beat a team with a winning record yet, but they had their bye week to heal up and rest. They're at home. The Dolphins haven't lost a game at home yet. The Raiders have been playing better recently, but I like the Dolphins to win this one.
Okay, let's head up I-95 to DC, where the 4-6 Commanders will welcome in the 2-8 Giants. I feel sorry for anybody who has to watch this game.
Yeah, if I was a Giants fan, I don't know if I would even watch anymore. The team is a complete mess. Both quarterbacks hurt, Daniel Jones and Tyrod Taylor. Offensive line is a mess. Wide receivers room is a mess. The entire team is, really. And I know it might be hard for Giants fans to do this, but they should probably be rooting for the team to lose every remaining game so that they can get Caleb Williams and Drake May and start over. That's just where we are with the Giants, and I hope they succeed because their fans. I hope they succeed with that goal because their fans deserve better. The Commanders are 4-6. I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs, but Sam Howell has been playing really well. He leads the NFL in passing yards. Eric Bieniemy has probably played a big role in his development and why Howell looks pretty good. He has to be a head coaching candidate, he has to be hired next year. I really hope so. The Commanders lost to the Giants at MetLife. That was when Tyrod Taylor was the quarterback. They also had Darren Waller in that game, but they're both gone. It's at Washington, and no way do the Commanders lose to the Giants twice. I have the Commanders winning this time.
Okay, let's go cross country to San Fran, where the 6-3 Niners, who looked a bit like their old selves in their last game, welcome in the 4-5 Buccaneers, who stay in every game. And I think Cleveland might have been wishing they kept Baker Mayfield.
Probably. Baker Mayfield is a pretty durable guy. The team may be 4-5, but Mayfield has played pretty well in most of the games, even though it hasn't translated to wins. They did get the win against the Titans, and their schedule does look a little favorable going forward. They play the Panthers twice. The NFC South is a little bit of a mess. They still have a very good chance at winning this division, despite being 4-5. The 49ers looked like the team we all thought was going to go to the Super Bowl. Last week, they pummeled the Jaguars 34-3. The offense was explosive. The defense had a ton of sacks and a ton of takeaways. I think acquiring Chase Young was a great move, and I think that's going to change the defense, having Young and Bosa on the same team for the first time since college. I think that's going to be a great pass rushing duo for the rest of the year, and maybe beyond that. We'll see. The 49ers crushed the Buccaneers last year in San Francisco. Tom Brady was the quarterback, although things will be a little different with Baker Mayfield. He's much younger, has a lot more evasiveness, and I still think the 49ers are going to win once again.
Okay, let's go back across the country to Orchard Park, where the 5-5 Bills, fresh off a stinker, welcoming in the 4-5 Jets, who are trying their best to stay afloat in that AFC East.
The Bills really had a shocking loss to the Broncos. They had 4 turnovers in that loss. They fired Ken Dorsey, the offensive coordinator, as a result. And it's not looking so good for the Bills. The wide receiver room outside of Diggs and Davis isn't that great. There's a growing tension with Stephon Diggs. That guy's the king of drama. And the defense is really injured, and they played their best, but it's only going to get harder for the Jets. The Von Miller hasn't looked anything close to his 2022 season, where he had a lot of sacks before getting injured. The Jets have been pretty unwatchable. They haven't scored a touchdown in 8 quarters now. They're really unwatchable. I know it's frustrating for everyone involved, the players, the coaches, the fans, that after Rodgers went down 4 plays into the season, there's rumors he could still come back, but I'm not so sure the Jets will have to win games, and they haven't been doing that recently. I really hate to see a great defense get wasted, because the Jets defense keeps them in every single game, but the offense just doesn't have enough. I like the Bills to win this one after they lost week one to the Jets.
Let's head back across the coast again to LA, where the 3-6 Rams will welcome in the 6-3 Seahawks. How do you see this one going?
The Rams were on their bye week. Matthew Stafford didn't play in their most recent game against the Packers. The Rams had a good-looking start to the season, but now they've lost a lot of games since. The Seahawks are 6-3. Their most recent win was Sunday in a thrilling win over the Commanders. They won on a last-second field goal. The offense looks pretty good, and the defense is starting to... It's improved a lot since last year, I think, with the additions of Devin Witherspoon and the return of Jamal Adams. The Seahawks did lose to the Rams week one in Seattle. They got blown out there, but I don't think that's going to happen again. I think the Seahawks are a lot more talented than the Rams. I think that was just a fluke. So I think the Seahawks are going to get their revenge here.
All right. And I know this game has a very important place in your heart as a Vikings fan. The Sunday night game got a little more interesting, I have to say, since the 4-5 Broncos, who are at home, will host the 6-4 Vikings. And the Broncos seem to have maybe finally turned things around from last season.
Looks like it. Russell Wilson has been playing much better than he did last year. His throw to Cortland Sutton on Monday night was insane. He had no plays like that last year. And Sean Payton has improved Russell Wilson. It seems like he's fixed him. His numbers haven't been eye-popping, but he has played very well so far this season. They've won two in a row against the... They've won like three in a row, I think. But they've won against the Chiefs, and then they won against the Bills off of their bye week. They're at home now. The defense has turned it around as well. They were great last season. They had a really bad start to the year, most notably. They gave up 70 points to the Dolphins, but things have improved since then. The Vikings were 1-4 in October, and I was thinking about next year's college quarterbacks. I thought the season was over, especially after they placed Justin Jefferson on IR, but they've won 5 in a row since, despite losing Kirk Cousins as well. Josh Dobbs has been a great backup, and it's been a great story to watch since he's been a backup mostly. He played pretty well with the Cardinals, although it didn't translate to wins. And yeah, his first two games with the Vikings have been very impressive. The game against the Falcons was crazy, since they traded for him on Tuesday, and then he played on Sunday and then led them to a game-winning drive. It's been very impressive, and now it looks like everyone's going to see what he's made of on prime time. I think it's going to be a close game. I think it's going to be defensive. I keep picking against the Vikings every week, and they keep on winning. So maybe that's the key maybe that's why they keep on winning. I'm going to take the Broncos here, but I hope the Vikings win.
All right, and let's wrap it up with what seems to be the best game on the slate on Monday night, which will have the 7-2 Chiefs, unfortunately, at home. So we have to listen to that friggin' tomahawk chop, welcoming in the equally annoying 8-1 Eagles. I wish this game could end in a scoreless tie. I hate both teams so much, but how do you see this breaking down?
They saved the best for last, and that's what it looks like to me. These teams last met in February in Arizona, when the Chiefs won 38-35 and in a very entertaining Super Bowl. I think the Chiefs are catching the Eagles at the right time. Both these teams were on their bye, but the Eagles placed linebacker N'Kobe Dean on IR, one of the many Georgia Bulldogs that are on the Eagles roster. He's been in and out of the lineup. And Dallas Goedert, their tight end, suffered a injury that will sideline him for a couple of weeks. He got hurt around the same time last year as well. So they're going to be without Goddard, although they do have A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, and maybe the league's best offensive line. It seems like they don't give up many sacks, and they always seem to have they always seem to create big holes in the running game. This is really important for both teams, since the winner will probably solidify their spot as the top seed in their conference, and the loser might have more competition for the top spot. Probably more so the Eagles than the Chiefs. The NFC looks a bit more competitive than the AFC does right now because of all the quarterback injuries in the AFC. I think I'm gonna pick the Chiefs here. They're at home. They're well rested. They always seem to perform pretty well at home and in prime time. And it just feels like they should be handed their Lamar Hunt trophy now. It seems inevitable that they'll win the AFC, and it's a Super Bowl rematch. It could be a preview as well.
All right, there you have it, folks. We'll see if Brennan can keep these wins going. Don't forget to follow Brennan on X, formerly Twitter, at PhD in NFL, and head on over to QBList.com for all their great content, including a couple columns that Brennan contributes to. Thanks again, and we'll see you soon.